What happened to price tags for medicine advertised on TV? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Trump administration had ordered drug companies to put into their TV ads how much medicines cost. Disclosure like this had been a major part of the White House effort to get pharmaceutical makers to lower their prices. Marketplace's Erica Barris is on the line to tell us just what happened yesterday.
These new ads were supposed to go into effect this week. TV commercials for pharmaceuticals would have had to list the price of any drug that costs more than $35 a month. But a federal judge in Washington, D.C. ruled that the way the administration tried to enact this TV requirement wasn't allowed. He said under current regulations, it was up to Congress to make the first move, not the Department of Health and Human Services.
What was the logic behind this Trump plan?
The idea is that transparency would bring down drug prices or hold drug makers accountable for costs, which have escalated in recent years. Of course, just saying how much drugs cost wouldn't necessarily make them cheaper. And the drug companies argued that in lots of cases, people don't actually pay that list price. Either way, with this court ruling, that's not happening anytime soon.
So it'll never happen?
The White House said it was disappointed about the ruling, but the administration could appeal. President Trump has been pushing various plans around healthcare price transparency in the last few months. He's also supported a Texas federal judge's decision that the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. Today, a federal appeals court in New Orleans will take up that case. If the ruling is upheld, that would have serious repercussions for the 20 million people who receive healthcare through programs created under the law.
Marketplace's reporter Erica Barris, thank you very much. The spring quarter profits and losses have started to come out. Pepsi sales today were up, profits higher than expected, yet the stock is down 0.3% now. The focus of market players will also be directed toward Capitol Hill, where the chief guardian of interest rates, Jerome Powell, will brief about the economy tomorrow and Thursday, 5 days after U.S. hiring popped back up to trend. On a Tuesday, let's consult Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
Going into Friday's jobs report, I think there was a lot more confidence that the Fed would act more dramatically, perhaps cutting rates by as much as half a percentage point at the meeting at the end of the month. But with the economy adding 224,000 jobs in June, people are rethinking that.
Well, you're not rethinking it, are you? They're probably going to cut rates this month.
I think they could cut rates. I think the question for markets is this an insurance cut, David? Is this a one-time cut, you know, taking back that December rate hike that people feel was a mistake? Or is this the beginning of a series of cuts that would result in three or four cuts over the next 12 months, which is what was priced into markets? I think markets got way ahead of themselves. Too much pessimism priced in, talk of a recession. That's gone too far. The market needs to march back the other way.
All right. Jeffrey Cleveland, who's the chief economist at Payden & Riegel, based in Los Angeles. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Nearly everyone in the crowded group of candidates competing for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination support health coverage for immigrants in the U.S. illegally. President Trump said he's happy his opponents favor this because he thinks that'll lose them votes. Politics aside, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on how the system works now for the more than 10 million undocumented people living in the U.S.
People in the country illegally are generally barred from enrolling in Medicaid or Medicare. They also can't buy insurance through the Affordable Care Act marketplace because that would be publicly subsidized. If you're undocumented and can afford it,
there is nothing illegal about selling private health insurance to people who are not in the country with authorization.
Stephen Wallace teaches public health at UCLA. He says most people here illegally work jobs that don't pay well enough to buy health insurance. Those who do access health care do so at federally funded health care centers because those are required to treat anyone, charge on a sliding scale, and don't ask for citizenship documentation. He says undocumented people also often use emergency rooms because they tend not to have a family doctor.
When you ask them, where do you usually go for health care, they say, well, nowhere in particular. So then when you have a need or your baby has the flu and you're worried because she's getting dehydrated, where do you go? You don't have an established relationship with any provider, so you head off to the emergency room.
More often than not, undocumented people will simply avoid going to the doctor rather than coming home with a big bill. Samantha Artiga, director of the Disparities Project at the Kaiser Family Foundation, says another important deterrent, the assumption that they'll be asked about their citizenship status.
We've seen a growing level of fear and uncertainty broadly across immigrant families that is also making them less willing to access services and programs for which they might be eligible.
Some states and cities have tried to make access for undocumented people more available. Shannon McConville studies healthcare at the Public Policy Institute of California. Last year, California provided subsidized medical insurance for all undocumented people under 26. That was a $100 million state budget item. And there's even talk of expanding the coverage to elderly undocumented immigrants.
So there really is a movement of trying to expand coverage to as many people as you can.
Opponents argue the costs will skyrocket when you start covering everyone, regardless of their citizenship status. Of the Democratic candidates running for president who support providing health coverage to undocumented immigrants, none of them has provided a comprehensive blueprint of how to do it, or perhaps more importantly, how to pay for it. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We also have news today that entrepreneur and adventurer Richard Branson's space tourism company will sell stock to the public for the first time. Reuters is reporting that Virgin Galactic could go public by the end of this year, another billionaire entrepreneur. Amazon's Jeff Bezos is also racing to put tourists into space through his Blue Origin rocket company. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.